The purpose of this season of Septuagesima is to prepare us for Lent, which is a time of mortification. Mortification is an essential part of Catholic spirituality. It is to put to death the old man of sin. The old man of sin is the man in us that is the old Adam, that is the man who does not believe God, for Adam and Eve committed their first sin by a disbelief in God and a belief of the devil, and who, through the effects of original sin, has embraced sensuality and all of the inclinations of the lower nature. That is the old man of sin, and that old man of sin must die so that the new man, who is our Lord Jesus Christ, may take root in us and live in us by sanctifying grace. St. Paul, in his epistles, repeats this theme over and over again. He says, and they that are Christ's have crucified their flesh with the vices and concupiscences. And with Christ I am nailed to the cross, and I live, now not I, but Christ liveth in me. And in another place he says, know you not that all we who are baptized in Christ Jesus are baptized in his death? For we are buried together with him by baptism into death, that as Christ is risen from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we may walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin may be destroyed, to the end that we may serve sin no longer. The reason for mortification is that we provide the necessary condition for the life of grace. In the Gospel of today's Mass, the spiritual life is compared to a plant. And as you know, anyone that has done any gardening, a plant requires certain conditions. And the better the conditions for the plant life, the more the plant will grow. We have to, in a sense, draw life out of the seed, draw life out of the plant by providing the best possible conditions for its growth. And so St. Paul says, always bearing about in our body the mortification of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our bodies. So there he says the purpose of our imitation of the crucifixion of Christ by our mortifications is so that the life of Christ might be made manifest in our bodies. And so the Gospel of today's Mass refers to the necessity of providing the favorable conditions for the life of grace. Those in whom the Word of God does not take root or does not bear fruit are those who have failed to mortify themselves in some way. The first group, which is the wayside, are those who have not mortified their pride, because the devil comes and takes the Word of God from them, and they don't even believe for a moment. The second group, which is the rock, are those who have not mortified their sensuality and their lust, so there is an original interest in the Word of God, in the Gospel. There is a certain root, but it dries up. And they end up in disbelief because they are so attached to their filth. And then the third group, the thorns, are those who have not mortified their worldliness or their sensuality or their avarice, and they believe, and the plant grows. There is a certain spiritual life initially, but it does not bear fruit because of the thorns. And this refers to those who do in fact believe, who are baptized, and who are members of the Catholic Church, but who are in the state habitually of mortal sin. They do not bear fruit. And just like the fig tree that was cursed by our Lord and which withered the next day to the shock of the apostles, so also the tree that does not bear fruit shall be cut down and cast into the fire. That is, those who are in the state of mortal sin shall go to hell. Despite the fact that they were baptized, despite the fact that they believed. Listen to the advice of the saints concerning mortification. Saint Jerome said this, "Our practice of mortification should be the gauge with which to measure our advancement towards spiritual perfection. We must hold for certain that the more we mortify ourselves, the more we advance toward perfection." Saint Francis Borgia, if he heard someone referred to as a saint, would say, "He is one if he denies himself." And St. John Birchman said, "I never say anything without first thinking it over and asking God's help in order not to say anything which would be displeasing to him." And St. Philip Neri said, responding to someone who wanted permission to scourge himself, said, "Why should you beat your shoulders when it is your head that is hard?" And St. Philip frequently said that sanctity consists entirely in denying one's own will and judgment. So many times when we think of mortification, we think of the table, that is, the delights of the table. But we do not think of other things like the mortification of our pride, the mortification of our self-will, the ugliness of pride, or the mortification of our anger, or the mortification of our laziness. That is all part of the spiritual life. It is not merely pushing yourself away from the table or eating less or skipping desserts. There is a whole other world of mortification depending on what you need. Sometimes you might be very moderate in things sensual, but full of pride and vanity. And it should be recalled that the discipline of children is part of mortification. In disciplining children, you are giving them the practice of mortification which they cannot practice by themselves. Just as you must bring them to the waters of baptism, since they cannot decide to do that by themselves when they are merely infants, nor could they drag themselves there even if they could decide. You must bring them there. So also you must give them the mortification that they ought to desire for themselves and ought to do for themselves. And that comes in the form of discipline. They can't do it for themselves because they are on the level of instinct. and the effects of original sin draw them to excess, to pride, to say no, disobedience. And there must be a mortification on all levels, not merely of sensuality, but on all levels, in order to carry on their baptisms. You see, St. Paul said, we are baptized in the death of Christ. Baptism is a death to the old man. It is a crucifixion of the old man. It doesn't make sense to go to the waters of baptism and at the same time have the intention of leading a sensual life. Imagine if someone did that. If an adult presented himself at baptism but had all the intention of leading a life of mortal sin and sensuality, he would not go to heaven. His baptism would count against him in hell. And so also it doesn't make sense to bring children to the waters of baptism unless also you intend to give them the mortification of discipline. You do not give them the means of attaining eternal life if you do not discipline them, if you do not mortify their passions. And if your children grow up and lose the faith or lose the practice of their faith or lose their morals and live in mortal sin for most of the time, it is often the result of the failure of parents to give the children the proper mortification through discipline. And don't forget, mortification is a universal thing. Sometimes parents will successfully mortify their children through discipline, obedience, but will hold out to them worldly goals, worldliness, avarice, the honor of human beings, glory. And in the pursuit of these worldly goals, they lose their faith. And it's like the thorns, or it's like the rock, the rocky soil. Even though they have given them one form of mortification, or they might mortify them with regard to humility and give them a sense of humility, but they do not mortify their sensuality. And they grow up and they know their catechism. They can recite it perfectly. They recite the Ten Commandments, but they're full of lust. And they cannot overcome their passions of sensuality. And for years and years and years live in sensuality, mortal sin. And perhaps will never come out of it because of a failure of mortification. It's a universal mortification that must be done. All of the faults must be mortified, and not merely one or the other. And in this era of modernity, we have to make sure that we preserve them from the worldly modern culture as well, which holds out to them essentially the path to hell. It's the only way to put it. The path to hell, a freeway, a paved freeway to hell. It's the modern world. And so they have to be pulled out of that culture as well. So we should approach Lent not with a spirit of dread, rolling our eyes that another Lent has come around, but with enthusiasm. Lent is a time in which to grow closer to God by means of prayer and mortification. A time to grow closer to God. And the holy practices of Lent will stay with us for eternity. They will be meritorious, and if we attain our eternal salvation, we'll count for good, for a higher place in heaven. But the sensuality and worldliness which would take the place of these mortifications will condemn us to time in purgatory, or perhaps even hell, if they are serious. Our blessed Lord said, if any man will come after me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.